We are at Tequila Cowboy. Everybody knows where that is over here on the North Shore. Not that far away from Acrisure Stadium, where tonight Pitt plays Syracuse. And SportsCenter is over, not here, but on the Pitt campus. That's weird, you know?
That's the peril of having your stadium be off campus. You are pulled in two directions.
So I'm actually, I did not anticipate the conversation going in this direction, but you did just hit on something interesting by just bringing that up. Something popped into my head. If I said right now, and I have our bank of phone lines in front of us, if I said right now, should Pitt build an on-campus stadium, 412-928-9370, I could fill that
Everyone
bank of phone lines.
Lines
in 2 minutes.
Correct.
I want to get to a point, or I'm hoping we get to a point, where this football team generates that kind of interest. Because the two things that are going on at the same time tonight, this game, and then Cooper Kupp suits up for the Rams, comes back. It's a chance for the Steelers and fans to see what he looks like and make your decision. Is this a guy worth trading for? Yes or no? And I just wonder how many people here will watch that compared to the Syracuse Pitt game. And the friggin' Amazon thing makes it hard to do both, unless you have two TVs. Streaming sucks for being able to toggle and go back and forth between games.
Oh, I think the move here is, now personally, I would put the NFL game on my phone, and I would just keep an eye on it when the Rams have the ball. If as a viewer, I am that interested in what Cooper Kupp does, because I'm like, it's like being an undecided voter. How many days before the election? Like, you're looking for your final.
Maybe this will be an October surprise.
Yes, it's an October surprise. Thank you. I'm sure many of our listeners know exactly what that even means.
Seth, do you know about October surprises? No. He's too out. The MILF hunter here has got other things to worry about.
Do you think Donnie knows what an October surprise is? Donnie, I will tell you before I ask you to answer that it is not something dirty. It's something political. Do you know?
I do not know.
Did you know that Seth has a penchant for women in their 50s?
50s.
Yeah, we had that 40s. Conversation yesterday, which, by the way, I put out Pony's take on Twitter, and we have some people saying it might be his worst of all time, Malzy.
Which one?
Marissa Tomei and Stifler's
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I didn't give you permission to put that one out there.
You sent it. You said it publicly, so it's out there now. Public domain. You said it on the air. Donnie's allowed to do whatever. I mean, you do this with many of our guests. You put their takes out there. To the point where some of them have to preempt their interview with us saying, Pony, do not say,
all right, well,
do not tweet this out.
Preemptively, anytime I rank one celebrity's looks over another, you're not allowed to tweet it out anymore.
Huh. Now,
there you go.
Preemptively, you're not allowed to take anything I say on the show and tweet it out. It all has to remain the domain of the show unless I send it out there. Donnie, you have permission, however, to do so.
So Donnie can tweet out your
takes. But you're not even allowed to retweet Donnie, yeah? I guess we can fight fire with fire here. Donnie, an October surprise is a late in the game, right before a presidential election, a late story that damages one of the candidates and therefore possibly swings the election. Anyway, my point is,
you'd
I will get back.
More attention on the Pitt-Syracuse game
way
than
more.
The Cooper
well,
Kupp
way
thing.
More, because for me, I'm not an undecided voter on Cooper Kupp. I know exactly what kind of player he is when he's healthy. I have a conception, a pretty decent one, of what he would look like outside that offense. He'd still get open. He'd still make catches. He'd probably be dominant as a slot receiver. But I think for his injury history and for what the Rams purportedly want back in draft capital, he's close to a non-starter for me unless they moved off that position.
So if he had a monster game tonight, that would not make you more interested in wanting him? Really?
No. No, because that's like being a prisoner of the moment.
Okay. And I'm sorry, sports talk show hosts are never prisoners of the moment.
So if he has a three-catch game for 18 yards, that'd make you want him less? Say he has 4-40, no touchdowns, versus 9-102 in a touchdown. That's not going to
okay,
sway my
a
opinion
second.
On
There's,
the player
there are two different things here. If he goes 4-40, would that make me not want him? No. I'm not going to be that dismayed or put off by one mediocre game when he hasn't played since week two. But if he has a monster game, if he has a huge game, Of course that's going to make me want, as a fan, that's going to make me want him more.
I just feel that's like that's
gonna,
a short attention span kind of take, though. You've watched this guy for a long time. You know how good he is. You know what he's capable of. Like, so one game's just going to, like, get you that hot to trot about it?
It's gonna change my mind, yes, because, well, it's going to affect me emotionally in the moment. Of course it is. Yes.
I mean, that's just not going to move me.
If Paul Skenes in his debut over here to my left gave up 8 runs, and that was the first time you saw him in the major leagues, you'd be like, oh, God, I don't know if this guy's all he's cracked up to be. If he went out and struck out 20, then you would have higher hopes for him. I think performances and production count for something, Chris. Do they not? If Russell Wilson was coming off a ho-hum game, I don't think you'd be saying, maybe this team actually can go somewhere. Or maybe Mike Tomlin did make the right
call.
But
I just don't think that the question with Cooper Kupp is at all about can he perform. It's can he stay healthy. And, like, him having a what you would call, like, an 8 out of 10 performance versus a 5 or a 4 out of
10
doesn't move me.
Hold on a second, though. It should, though, because of you just mentioned the injury thing. If he went out there and looked great and put up big numbers, it would show that he's over the high ankle sprain and he's not encumbered by it or affected by it. If he was, not looking aesthetically, if he was kind of limping around out there and looked much slower, then...
Well, that's a different question, though. Like, you're talking about how he physically looks versus how he performs. Yes, if he physically didn't look like himself, that would be...
But you just said a few minutes ago that you really didn't have to watch him that closely tonight.
I'm talking strictly about performance. Like, strictly about does he put up numbers or not. That has nothing to do with does he even look healthy.
Yeah.
That's two different things, man. You know those are two different
things.
Well,
you tried to get me in a loophole where that we were talking about two different things. So, bam, turnaround is fair play. Take that to start a show.
You're still smarting after losing Judge Donnie yesterday, which is fine. I think, though, that the Pitt game is just, in general, I understand the Steelers are a way bigger story in town, 10 times out of 10. That's not being rude to Pitt. That's just stating a fact. But how many times do we have, and I hate to use this word because it sounds dismissive or like a put-down of Pitt, but... them being 6-0 this late in a season is a true novelty.
Well, it's never happened in our lifetimes.
That's what I mean. So there is a novelty factor for me. Like, usually, even if they were a good team, like they were 4-2 and the two losses were close losses to good opponents this far into the season, you'd have a defined endpoint of where their season was going to like go. Like, they'd be already consigned to, like, maybe the Pinstripe Bowl or something. Best case scenario, maybe they get into what? They sneak into a New Year's Six Bowl? Because they're not making a 4-team playoff, right?
Yeah.
With two losses. It's a 12-team playoff now. They're unbeaten. They have a tough road ahead still. They've still got Louisville. They've still got Clemson. They've still got SMU next week as a ranked opponent on the road. But, like, we're in uncharted waters here, as you just said, in our lifetimes. They're 6-0.
Yeah, like I just said, if I said, should they build an on-campus stadium, 412-928-9370, a million people would call in.
I know.
But even as you say 6-0, I just... here's what I don't want to fall into. I don't want to fall into the trap of one of our old boss's pet peeves where I bring up a topic that says,
do you care?
Do you care?
Well,
are you interested?
Starkey still does that.
But you know,
he loves that.
Like, if I have to even ask that question, I think I have my answer. You know, like, I...
yeah, that's the old... there's like a whole law, like, if the headline asks a question, the answer is no. One of those deals. Like, if the New York Times publishes something and the headline is a literal question, the answer is always no.
I guess what I... okay, so to me, this is what I would want to know, having not experienced the mid to late 70s and the early 80s, when Pitt was legitimately one of the best college football programs in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't just bragging about guys that they put in the NFL. They won a national championship in 76, and the last time they were 6-0, they were ranked number one in the nation,
yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, that predates us.
Yes.
But there are people in our audience who are listening who do remember, whether they're Pitt fans or not, what that was like. Is it possible for Pitt to become a big deal in this town? When that team was number one, and when they were a few years removed from winning a national championship, and their star quarterback was Dan Marino,
mm-hmm.
was Pitt a massive deal here? That's what I want to know. Because that legitimately is a curiosity of mine, because it's something that I can't draw upon personal experience and say, well, honestly, in Pittsburgh, even when Pitt is great, not that many people care.
Well, they're all,
Seth is sitting to my left. Seth is sitting to my left. He roots for all the Philly teams. He could say, you know, even when Villanova was winning national championships, nobody gives a rat's ass about Villanova basketball.
I always thought that they did, though. They did, though, because it's a basketball
yeah,
city.
Yeah, I'm not – yes, okay, fair enough. I'm not looking to debate that per se, but you know what I mean? When USC is great, are they a big deal in L.A.?
See,
when Miami is great, are they a big deal down there?
But you use a strange example with USC. I've always thought that USC, when they are great, is more popular out there than, like, the Rams
now
or whatever.
Well, yeah, because their football teams have moved around.
They're transient football teams. Miami is a good one. Here's one I would like
to know. We have one of the great NFL franchises. Say what you will about what they haven't done in the playoffs, but they have fans around the world. Other than the Cowboys and maybe the Packers, they have the most NFL fans. Okay, so it's a religion here. We know Pitt.
Miami had some juice when Jimmy Johnson was there, even when Schnellenberger was there. Miami had some juice, especially like late 80s. You get into early 90s. They took on a life of their own because there was the whole, like, what, Catholics versus convicts, or was that the Florida State game, whatever it was. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, that was Miami.
They'd play Notre Dame, and it was like the two worlds colliding. Here are the honest-to-God fan base I would love to hear from on this, believe it or not, is people who lived in Cincinnati a couple of years ago when they made the college football playoff. They don't have the program tradition that Pitt does, where you can fall back on, like, hey, this is an iconic national title team, like, in the last 50
years. Yeah, like
years.
The Sauce Gardner team.
Right, like, they don't have that. They have the Tony Pike team or the Zach Caleros team.
Oh, God.
But my point in bringing that up is the Bengals are not the Steelers, but the Bengals were at that point, I think, Burrow was there, and so there was hope there, right? What was that run like for them? When they actually made it, they were a sacrificial lamb to Alabama, but they got there. Did they occupy a lot of rent in people's sports minds in that city? Because I think that is comparable here. If Pitt makes a run out of a conference that now is not the Big Ten and not the SEC, so it is the lesser of the big conferences that are left in the Power Four, is it going to get that kind of capital? I wish I could answer firmly yes, but I think the group of people, the subset we would hear from, are diehard Pitt fans. Of course it would move the needle.
Well, let's see.
And casuals who would say the opposite.
Well, let's see.